I'm so relaxed. I am recording this episode from an inflatable donut, and I'm not even in water. I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt with with swim trunks. I have no plans on going swimming. I just want the ultimate relaxation.
Shut up and sit down.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Film Forecast with the Core Four. I am your host, the Idol Steve, along with...
Hello, this is Josh, your co-host.
What's up, guys? It's Smiley.
Again, Huber's busy with the day-to-day grind, so he won't be joining us. Yep. But we got Smiley back, at least. Smiley, how you doing, kid?
I'm doing good.
Did you go to see Independence Day?
Hell no.
Why not?
You made the right choice.
Because I listened to your review.
We spoiled the film for you.
I'm not a huge ID4 guy anyway.
Wow.
Ooh. Ooh, I mean, I like it, words. But
what a
I like
deal.
It, but yeah, I don't know. It's really corny to me, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's extremely corny.
Not that corny.
I wouldn't give it an A.
A plus.
No, yeah, I wouldn't give it an A plus.
Happy 4th of July to all our listeners out there. We hope you have a safe and fantastic holiday and eat some good grub.
You could also read the Declaration of Independence.
You could.
Or Thomas Jefferson didn't write that for his health.
You could do that any day.
Or you could just fire up YouTube and watch Bill Pullman's speech like I did.
That is good speech.
Every 4th, buddy. Every 4th.
I don't like that. That's not what 4th of July is all about.
Get you pumped up, though.
Pumped up. You know, go on YouTube and search John Adams. Search for any scene from John Adams, really. Or specifically, I mean, even though it doesn't have anything to do with the Declaration of Independence, watch George Washington being played by David Morse. Watch that scene where he's being sworn in, oath of office. Watch that instead.
I watched a little video on Facebook about the origins of the national anthem, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Francis Scott Key, how he was on the prisoner ship. And he was negotiating the release of prisoners, and I knew half the story, but I didn't know, full story. Pretty interesting, so definitely go look that up. It makes you really appreciate that song a lot more.
Yeah.
So, happy 4th.
Happy 4th.
I wish we had audio of any one of Abraham Lincoln's speeches.
Speaking of that, I actually rewatched Lincoln this weekend in preparation for the BFG. Great movie. Oh, yeah, great movie.
In preparation for the BFG?
Well, I mean, Spielberg. I wanted to watch a couple Spielberg movies.
Oh, okay.
In preparation for the BFG. And since I decided I hadn't watched Lincoln since I saw it in theater, so I watched Lincoln and then I watched Hook.
You didn't want to watch War Horse?
I don't have War Horse.
Maybe that'll be better for you the second watch if you give it a shot.
Possibly. I don't have it, though. I have Lincoln and I have Hook, so I watch those two.
So does Hook hold up?
You know what? I like Hook. I pretty much like every Spielberg movie. I mean, some are better than others.
Is that like your war on nostalgia? Would that be considered part of it?
No, because nobody likes Hook. Nobody's nostalgic for Hook.
I think you're wrong.
I feel like people like Rufio.
People do like Rufio.
Rufio's very over.
Yeah.
Every time you mention Hook, they talk about little Rufio.
I tell you what, when Steve starts talking about how Hook is like a 10 out of 10. You know,
masterpiece.
Yeah, a masterpiece. No, Hook is no masterpiece, but Hook is good.
Independence Day is better than Hook.
I disagree.
Mm. Hook's corny.
I'd rather watch Hook.
Hook is not nearly as corny as Independence Day.
All right, so today we're going to have a short episode, get everybody out of here. We're going to have Josh review the BFG. Me and Smiley didn't have the chance to do it.
Wait, actually, you guys just plain refused.
No, I said I would, but I was working a lot of hours this week, so I said if Huber wasn't going to be here, if Smiley couldn't see it, then I'm not just going to do a review with Josh on the BFG. I think that was fair. I mean, I'm willing to see anything, but...
Yeah, I just didn't want to see it.
There you go. So... I didn't want to go to a 10:30 showing and force myself to stay awake a 3-hour movie to do a 2-man review.
It's not three hours.
All right.
I got to be pick and choose movies. Movies is expansive.
And then we're going to do a chilling with Smiley instead of news today. So also a feature review of Swiss Army Man, finally.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to go chilling with Smiley. We're going to have good time with Netflix. Oh, that was Randy Newman with the new song.
We still don't have a song.
What are you talking about? That was Randy Newman. Gonna go chillin' with Smiley.
That's a really bad Randy Newman.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
I can't hear myself talk this week, so I usually do a better Randy Newman.
All right. Well, I'm going to go through the list of stuff coming in July, even though it's already July. So most of this stuff is already on there. But so we got July 1st, we got a shit ton. Back to the Future trilogy.
There we go.
Which, of course, great. Batman the movie, the 1966 version. You guys ever seen that?
Yeah.
It's very funny.
It is.
Beavis and Butthead do America.
Nice.
Now that's something I could see myself going back to watch.
Yeah, me too. I haven't seen it since I was like young teenager. Probably shouldn't have been watching it, you know.
I'll always remember that line, "Our TV, it's gone! We must find our TV."
It's a good movie.
So funny.
What I really remember about it is the scene where they're like tripping. Like,
oh, yeah,
the white zombie sequence.
Yeah, yeah.
With Rat Fink, suicide tanks, and cannibal girls.
Yeah, I love that scene.
Did that movie go to theaters?
It did. I saw it in theaters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, opening day.
Huh.
So it couldn't have been rated R. It was probably like rated PG or PG-13.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably PG-13. It seemed like a lot dirtier. Like, yeah. If you watched Beavis and Butt, it felt like you were getting away with something.
Yeah, definitely. But it's kind of like
in reality, it was like not even as bad as South Park.
Yeah, South Park way, way dirtier than that. I mean, the South Park movie was rated R and everything.
Yeah. So we got Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2.
Oh, nice. I haven't seen those in a very long time.
Yeah, I've only seen the first one. I've never watched the second.
Good movies. Old school cop comedy movies.
They say they've added Big Trouble in Little China, but I know for a fact that I watched this like 6 months ago on Netflix. So maybe they took it off and put it back on.
It's possible.
Strange, but a great film. Blade 2. Just Blade 2.
No Blade 1, no Blade Trinity?
No, they didn't feel the need to put the other ones for reference. They're like, everybody's seen Blade 1. We're just going to put Blade 2.
You know the series on Spike TV?
No.
Who was that rapper who starred as Blade?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know anything about the TV show.
I watched the pilot, I remember. Sticky Fingers.
Sticky Fingers.
That was his name. Wasn't Sticky Fingers on The Shield?
I think he was. I think you're right. Probably that guy that they put in the shipping container and made him fight that other guy to the
death. Yeah, that was him. That was him. I don't know how we got on Sticky Fingers, but...
Well, apparently he's really good in Blade the series, so everyone needs to check that out.
Yeah, I wish they'd put it on Netflix. I'd watch an ep. Didn't he get replaced by Zach from Power Rangers as like the leader of the gang? Remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, Zach from Power Rangers, Walter Jones.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Walter Jones, great man. What are Walter Jones is up to? Oh, he's in Popstar. Never stopping. Angry Fan, big role for him. What else we got?
We have Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
What'd you call that movie, Josh?
Extremely Long and Incredibly Boring or something.
Oh. Yeah, Extremely Long and Incredibly Boring.
But that's a Best Picture nominee?
Yeah, actually it was. It didn't deserve it, but yeah, it was nominated.
But it's on Netflix if you want to make your own decision. Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Nice.
Marilyn Monroe.
They got any other Marilyn movies up on there this month?
Not that I noticed. That was the only one. I mean, I'll watch it. I think I have that on Blu-ray, actually. I have a bunch for no reason. I have like six of them for no reason.
Yeah. No Some Like It Hot?
No, I love that movie.
Yeah.
Insomnia.
Now, which one? The Christopher Nolan remake or the original?
I believe the remake.
It's good.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I didn't know that was a remake.
Yeah, it's a remake of, I think, a Swedish movie. That's Chris Nolan before he like became Chris Nolan. That's the Chris Nolan Steve likes.
Yeah, that movie kind of flew under the radar when it came out.
Yeah, it did.
I remember watching it and I didn't expect it to be that good, and I remember really liking it. I've only seen it once.
Yeah.
But I remember renting it and I'm like, wow, this is freaking good. And I wasn't expecting much out of it.
I think the original version, I think Criterion released a Blu-ray of it.
Yeah, I believe I have. Really? I don't think I've gotten around to watching it yet, though.
They love Chris Nolan. I'm surprised they haven't released his.
What did they put out by Chris Nolan so far?
Just, what was his first movie?
The Following.
Yeah, The Following. Which is pretty good, too.
I thought they've done more.
Yeah, The Following is a good first movie. I was happy to see that Pan's Labyrinth is getting a 10th anniversary release from Criterion.
Yeah, I love Pan's Labyrinth.
Okay, anything else?
Yeah, we have The Italian Job. Meh. Lethal Weapon 1 through 4.
Ooh, nice.
I know you're a big fan, Steve.
You could really treat yourself if you're in the mood for great movies. Josh, have you seen all the Lethal Weapons?
I don't think I've ever seen a Lethal Weapon movie all the way through.
Oh, so good.
Is the third one or the fourth one with Joe Pesci?
Joe Pesci comes in the second one, and then he's in the third and fourth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he becomes. He's wow. not in the first, though.
I didn't know he was in that many.
They put him in, like, witness protection, and Danny Glover and Mel Gibson are, like, protecting him, and then they become buddies throughout the third and fourth one. Really funny. He's really funny in it.
Yeah, I remember him being very funny.
Yeah, and then Chris Rock's in the fourth one. The fourth one's actually pretty good, and that's Jet Li's first American movie. I don't know, maybe Black Mask, but, yeah, that was Jet Li's breakthrough in America. He's a good villain in it. Have a really cool fight scene between the three at the end, where Jet Li's just, like, beating the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, Jet Li would destroy him. So, we got The Lovely Bones.
You know, that's a movie I wouldn't mind watching again.
Yeah, I've wanted to watch it. I never got around to it, and I kind of forgot about it.
Kind of gotten a bad rap over the years. When I watched it the first time, I know I didn't hate it, but and it wasn't top-tier Peter Jackson, but that's the one I think I actually will watch
that's a,
again.
That's a weird movie for Peter Jackson to do.
Yeah.
Because I read the book, and not really much in that book screamed Peter Jackson to me.
Now, you know, I remember when I was watching it, I think I was kind of underwhelmed by, like, the heaven imagery. I think I actually really preferred more the stuff that was going on Earth than the stuff that was happening in the afterlife. So I'll give it another watch.
Okay. Turner and Hooch.
Great movie.
If you need to cry. if you're in the mood for a good cry, you can watch Turner and
Hooch. I love those Tom Hanks comedies, man.
Yeah.
Those
Tom Hanks
best.
Is great at comedy. Man, what a great actor Tom Hanks.
Oh,
he's
one
so
of the greatest.
He is. And we got Mean Girls rounding out the first. And all these should be on there already.
Mean Girls is shit. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I expect every one of our listeners to have already seen it.
Yeah. That's a movie I watch every couple of years, actually.
It's good. I don't think it's great, but it's good.
Anytime I, like, well, when I had cable, like, if it was on TV, I'd always watch it. Kind of like Bring It On to me, but it's actually a better film.
Oh,
like, actually
man.
A good film.
Man, you're splitting hairs here, kid.
Oh, come on. Bring It On's not as good as
Bring It On. Yeah, you're right. Bring It On's tight, though. Man, I love Bring It On.
It's funny. I like watching it. It's just enjoyable.
Well, Mean Girls is, like, the only credible thing Lacey Chabert has ever done. So, if you want to see her in, like, a decent movie, that's all you got.
I'm sure she's had other movies, but that she's, like, starred in. Well, she starred in that one.
Thirst.
That one that Christopher Reeves either directed or produced.
Was she young, though?
She was in a wheelchair. She was all, like, paralyzed like him.
Was she of age?
She was. It was around Mean Girls, maybe a little after.
Oh, wow. It probably made for TV.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Sounds like a made-for-TV movie.
I'm really trying to put over Lacey Chabert.
She's great. Party of Five, man.
Really
Lost
hot.
In Space.
So July 4th to the 11th. We have The Big Short. Was that in your top 10?
It was. I think it was number 2 or 3.
Yeah.
I'm the only one who had it in my top 10, though.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of this movie, but it was nominated for Best Picture.
Just an interesting film, I felt. I hadn't really seen too many things like
it. I mean,
I'm
glad I watched it.
Josh?
It was fine. I'm not a huge fan.
And then The Invitation movie that
we
reviewed.
Oh, nice. Yeah, good movie.
If you guys want to check out the one that we reviewed.
Yeah.
Yes, I definitely recommend that everybody checks out The Invitation.
Watch The Invitation and watch our episode or listen to our episode.
Yeah, you'll have to go back, what, a month?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Good movie.
Give yourself to do for the week, bruh.
All right. And then July 21st to the 31st, we have, these are just what I thought was interesting, worth noting. Obviously, there's way more. But we have BoJack Horseman Season 3. I'm a big fan of that show. I think it's funny.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people talking about it. I haven't watched it yet.
Is that a Netflix show?
Yeah. It's Will Arnett and, like, I think Paul Aaron from Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul F. Tompkins is in it. It's just a funny show. It's not, it's like, serious or anything. It's a cartoon.
Oh, okay. Like a half an hour?
Yeah, it's short.
Maybe I'll watch the pilot, see if I like it.
Yeah, that's all right. And then last but not least, we have My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, Season 6, Part 1.
Oh, wow. Now, Smalley, do you identify as a brony?
No, but I just wanted to toss that in there just in case any of our listeners are out there running around with little hooves on.
We're accepting of bronies here. We have no nothing against the brony population.
Okay.
Fine. And they're going to be really happy when July 21st through the 31st comes because they I don't know the exact date. But
we got more My Little Pony in the tank.
Now, what's brony?
The way I understand it, it's a it's an adult male who likes My Little Pony.
My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic.
Now, is that like an old school show? I've heard of My Little Pony.
No, this is like the newer rendition of it.
Huh. Cartoon?
Yeah. I've never seen it, but like, I watched like half of the documentary about it. Bronies, I think. I don't remember what it was called. People seem to really like it. I guess you kind of really have to like it if you're going to dress up like it and go to cons and stuff.
Isn't this for like little girls?
Yeah,
it is. But then there's also a segment of people that are called bronies that are adult males who like it. I've never actually met one, but.
Well, not that you know of.
Not that I know of.
I've never even seen like a clip of My Little Pony.
I mean, you know what they are. You've seen like the toys and everything, right? It's a pony traditionally with a bright tail.
Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, they've been popular since like the 80s.
They're often trailed by a sparkling rainbow.
Huh.
Something like that. I mean, I watched Care Bears when I was a kid, so probably not that much different.
I might have watched like a couple episodes of Care Bears.
What about Gummy Bears? Remember that show?
Uh-uh.
Gummy Bears. That was a really fun show. They lived in a tree. They
all had, No. That was the Berenstain Bears.
No.
Oh, I got down.
Them too, but
they
also
lived in trees.
Gummy Bears too.
I got down on the Berenstain.
I love those books.
Yeah, I fucks with the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah. Papa Berenstain Bear wore a really good flannel shirt.
Yeah, he did. That's it for Netflix this month. I would go through the list of things that are leaving Netflix, but it's too depressing.
It's very depressing.
I'll just say, watch Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid while you have a chance.
Yeah, watch it now while you still can. Now, Smiley, you did finish Orange is the New Black season 4, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still like halfway through the season, but I am definitely enjoying it.
Yeah, I was talking to my sister last night about it. She said she didn't like the season.
She did.
Yeah, she's a fan of the show. She said she hates Piper in this season. And I kind of agreed. I was like, you know what? She's kind of like my least favorite character.
Well, yeah, she was definitely my least favorite character of the third season. Now, I actually read the book, Orange is the New Black. I think like after season 2, I read the book and I really didn't like Piper. She just kind of came off as a stuck up and looking down her nose at these people. But I don't know. Maybe that's, I don't know. So I think that kind of they just use the book to set up these characters and Piper kind of takes a back seat so, you know, they can get into the characters that we actually like.
Yeah, it's more about the other characters.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for chilling with Smiley. I hope you had some fun. Get yourself some corn and watch a little Netflix with Smiley. Better?
We're going to use that now. Every time.
I had to warm up my Randy Newman.
Well, we need to get some piano background for that, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you should have like a little...
Yeah. Hold somebody's hand and chill with Smiley now. Thank you, Randy Newman.
Yeah, I'll say that Netflix, it seems like I just pick and choose the ones I think are the best that are coming on.
Yeah.
And there were slim pickings this month.
You know what? Speaking of Netflix, there's a Netflix exclusive movie that you watched that you were the only one that watched because I forgot about it. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, Fundamentals of Caring, which I mentioned on my first Chillin' with Smiley. It went to Sundance, premiered at Sundance.
So let's run through this. The IMDb plot summary. A man suffering an incredible amount of loss enrolls in a class about caregiving that changes his perspective on life. And this was written and directed by Rob Burnett, based on the novel by Jonathan Evison. And it stars Craig Roberts, Paul Rudd, and Selena Gomez. So, Smiley, what did you think, since you were the only one that saw it?
It's a good, upbeat movie, you know. It's a feel-good movie, like a comedy. Paul Rudd's great in it, of course. Craig Roberts is good. Selena Gomez, she's not really a main character in it. She's like a side character. She's really good. And I don't want to give away too much of the story, but it's kind of, you can predict where it's going. I feel like I've seen the movie maybe before.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really original. But
it's just a nice little watch.
Yeah, Paul Rudd brings a lot to the table. He's a really funny actor, and he has some good scenes in this. There's a lot of like touching stuff in it, but it's good. Check it out. I gave it a 7, and so I'm gonna give it a C+.
Good. I'm gonna watch
solid
it definitely.
C+.
As soon as I could get some time on my hands. Right now, I'm just swamped. I'm barely making, you know, the show times that we have for the show. So
there was like a teaser scene where Paul Rudd's driving with the kid. And he goes in the gas station and gets some Slim Jims and stuff. And he comes out and he's trying to tell the kid. He said he never had a Slim Jim. The kid's British. I didn't mention that. But so he's trying to get him to eat it. And he's like putting it up to his lips. He's like, come on, bite the Jim. He's like, what do they say in your country? Bite of the James. It's like, here, bite the James. And it like goes on for like a couple minutes. It's fun.
You know, I don't blame him. There's a lot of sodium in those things. I haven't had a Slim Jim in probably four years, maybe 5 years.
Josh, remember when we got on the kick of eating beef sticks every night?
Yeah, those were Jack Links.
Yeah.
Those are also very high in sodium. Sasquatch. I haven't had a Jack Links either in like 4 or 5
years.
Yeah,
I think if you eat one like normal size Slim Jim, that's your sodium for the week.
That's your sodium for about a month.
Yeah, it's bad.
Snap to a Slim Jim. Ooh, yeah.
I'm getting bloated just talking about it.
Yeah, I really limit the amount of sodium. I mean, you're getting so much sodium just by eating anything, really. So
celery has sodium in it.
Yep. So that's why I don't do salt anymore. I don't put salt on anything. You're already getting enough sodium as it is.
I only eat celery with ranch dressing and wings.
What about peanut butter and raisins?
Yeah, I'll eat that.
Ants on a log?
Oh yeah.
What about cream cheese?
Cream cheese. That's a family tradition there.
Yeah, we do that.
My grandma likes to
fill them with cream cheese.
I have never put anything on my celery.
Man, you're missing out.
I never did the ants on a log thing. No, I eat celery every day.
Yeah, but it's really hard to get good celery. Is gross.
No, I love celery. You got to get it really good. It's hard to get the good celery. You got to bite into it and just like water gushes out of it.
It's like 90% water.
Yeah. Right now, there's like droughts going on in the West Coast, so it's hard to get good celery. When you get good celery, you should celebrate it by eating the celery by itself and not, you know, dousing it in marinara sauce or whatever the hell.
Marinara sauce.
Ranch.
Gross.
Ranch.
Ugh. Ranch dipping sauce.
Buffalo sauce.
Mmm.
I wonder, so why do they put celery with buffalo wings? Just, you know, off topic.
It cools it. It cools it if you got hot wings or something. This is a weird episode.
It's a very casual episode. Yeah. It's a holiday. We're relaxing.
And we're chilling with smiling.
Yeah, we didn't get up as early as we usually do.
I know, I'm energized.
Podcast.
I haven't worked in 4 days, so I'm very relaxed. I don't know
this
about you.
This is my first weekend off in like all month.
It's my first day off in a while.
Yep, I've had a very nice, relaxing holiday weekend.
Yeah, you guys literally are chilling with Smiley right now.
True.
Yep. I'm so relaxed. I am recording this episode from an inflatable donut, and I'm not even in water. I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt with with swim trunks. I have no plans on going swimming. I just want the ultimate relaxation.
I'm wearing a rubber ducky floaty around my waist, and I have glasses on, even though I wear contacts. I wear glasses, and I have flip-up glasses, like sunglasses on them.
Yeah.
And they're flipped up right now.
I'm drinking my delicious acai sun tea with a little umbrella in it.
That actually sounds really good.
I got food coming pretty soon, so let's move on.
Where are you getting food from?
Where are you getting food?
I'm cooking.
Come on. You don't cook. You've never cooked.
Grilling.
Give me a break. What you put a pizza in the oven.
Hot pocket.
Firing up the grill, man. I got some burgers, got some dogs.
This episode's like all about food.
Now it is, yeah. All right, so let's move on to Josh with the BFG.
All right, so yes, I went and saw the BFG this weekend because I'm the resident Spielberg fan here. I'll pretty much see anything he makes. I didn't see War Horse in theaters. That was a freak accident, though. But anyway, the IMDb plot summary is a girl named Sophie encounters the big friendly giant who, despite his intimidating appearance, turns out to be a kind-hearted soul who is considered an outcast by the other giants because, unlike them, he refuses to eat children. This was, like I said, directed by Steven Spielberg. It was written by Melissa Matheson, based on the book by Roald Dahl, who's, you know, everybody knows who he is. He wrote Willy Wonka and a bunch of other stuff. This stars Academy Award winner Mark Rylance and Ruby Barnhill. Yeah, so basically, I thought this movie was pretty good. I would say this is minor Steven Spielberg. This is definitely a children's movie, so there are definitely some low stakes in the third act. But it's a very enjoyable movie. It's extremely well made. If I were taking a child to a movie, if I had like a 9-year-old child, this would be the movie to go to. I think Mark Rylance is great in this movie. I think he's just so charming. And I actually love this girl that plays Sophie. Her name is Ruby Barnhill. She has a lot of charisma for a young actor. She kind of reminds me of a young Mara Wilson, who was kind of like the go-to 90s actress, young actress girl. She's the girl from Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, okay.
Matilda, Miracle on 34th Street. Yeah, I really think this girl has the same amount of charisma as that girl is, and I look forward to what she does from here on out. So yeah, I won't get too far into spoilers. I will just say, yes, it's a very joyful movie to watch. It's a children's movie, so it has very low stakes in the third act. I give this movie a B-.
Well, no one saw this movie.
It didn't do very well at the box office. Actually, I was looking at the box office numbers, and it looks like Finding Dory came in number one again with $41 million. That's been number one for like 3 weeks now. Legend of Tarzan surprisingly came in number two. Wow. I didn't think anybody was going to see that.
Who saw that?
My sister and brother-in-law went and saw, they were going to the drive-in last night.
Oh,
and I was
okay.
Like, oh, cool. What are you seeing? And she was like, Independence Day 2 and Tarzan. I was like, oof. you're in for a rough night.
Okay. You know what? I would do that double feature. Had I not seen Independence Day, I mean, the drive-in is kind of, you know, that's an environment where you can just kind of like sit there in lawn chairs and, you know, goof off, have a fun time watching a movie, because you're not going to be disturbing anybody by kind of like joking around and having fun with movies. So yeah, I would do that double feature had I not already seen Independence Day Resurgence. Did they have a good time?
I don't know. They went last night.
You'll see them today.
Yeah.
Text me a detailed review of Legend of
Tarzan. Yeah, I'll see if they like it. She was kind of heartbroken. She was looking forward to Legend of Tarzan because she likes Skarsgård from True Blood.
You know, that's kind of weird. I thought if he was going to like take off and get his own potential franchise, it would have been like 3 or 4 years ago.
That's why I thought they should have picked someone younger, like up and coming, you know?
Or even just like play it safe and go with Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Or
Taylor Kitsch.
Brendan Fraser.
He's George of the Jungle.
That was George of
the Jungle. Get your jungle heroes on. But anyway, the Purge election year came in third with $30 million. I had no idea that this franchise was so popular, that this movie could make $30 million.
Yeah, don't sleep on the Purge.
We were talking shit
I slept on the Purge. I slept in and I missed out.
We should have reviewed it. Looking back,
we should have.
I would have had to have watched the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen the first one. That's it. How many are there?
That's the third one.
The third one? Okay. So I only had to watch one.
Yeah. And then the BFG came in number four in the box office with $22 million, which, I mean, this is actually a really good weekend for the box office. But then again, it is a holiday weekend. And then poor Will Wold's Independence Day Resurgence came in number five with $20 million.
It's going to do well internationally, though.
Why would it do well internationally?
It's, yeah.
Sci-fi.
It's not sci-fi. We went over this last week. The Independence Day movies are not sci-fi movies.
Fake sci-fi.
They're disaster movies that happen to have aliens in them. It's going to be tough for Independence Day Resurgence to even cross over that $100 million mark.
Yeah,
it's not going to make anywhere near what ID4 made.
Well, it made $177 million foreign. Okay. So it did pretty well foreign.
That's like every country, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's 253 total worldwide dollars, though.
Budget? Is this movie opening in China?
Probably. I don't know.
Because China doesn't get every American movie.
It'll make its money. It's not going to be...
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff Goldblum's getting paid. They're not going to avoid that check. All right. Question on the BFG.
Yes.
Do you think I would like it? Because, you know, I kind of like kids' films.
You don't like Spielberg, though.
No, I like Spielberg. What are you talking about?
I don't think you've ever...
I like by Spielberg?
If you think Independence Day is better than Jurassic Park, you just don't like Spielberg. That's how I feel.
I like almost everything Spielberg does. I don't love almost everything Spielberg does. Well, I love Jurassic Park still. I mean, I still give Jurassic Park an A, dude. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I still love Jurassic Park. We'll get into that.
Yeah, I actually, I think it's actually really fitting that the BFG, I'm reviewing the BFG at the same weekend as Swiss Army Man, because there are actually a lot of parallels between BFG and Swiss Army Man.
Really?
I guess the spoilery way of saying is both movies are about discarded, you know, sad, lonely people who meet up and they celebrate their combined love of farts.
Hey, so is Fundamentals of Caring. I guess you can lump in there, too.
Well, there you go.
Look at that. Look at us being all matchy.
I did like the BFG a lot. I would say it's certainly better than Tintin. Tintin was one of those Spielberg movies that I kind of didn't like. But yeah, I like the BFG. The BFG is a movie that I would consider watching again.
I should probably rewatch Lincoln. It's just so long.
It's so good.
All right.
I think I fell asleep during it.
Yeah, I just wasn't in the mood when I watched it, maybe.
Did you see it in theaters?
No, I watched it at Huber's house.
Yeah, I watched it with you.
Oh, geez, that movie's so cinematic, though.
Yeah, well, it's what it is. Can't see them all.
Jesus. Now, back in the 90s, if Spielberg had made a Lincoln biopic back in the 90s, you know that movie would have been like the hugest hit.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that people had become so cynical by time the Lincoln movie actually came out, and that's why, I mean, I don't know if it was a big box office movie or not. I can't remember that much, but
probably
I don't
not.
Know. Just like considering like you didn't even see it in theaters. I mean, that's kind of that's an event movie, or it should be an event movie. And I think it's sad for the state of cinema where a movie about our, you know, one of our greatest, if not the greatest president of all time, isn't a huge event movie.
I wanted to actually see the BFG. I know I talk crap about it, but I didn't expect it to be great, but I still wanted to see it. I still like Spielberg.
But anyway, my final rating for the BFG is a B-. 3D in this movie is insanely good. The motion capture work that they do specifically with the title character, Mark Rylance's character, is just so good. The amount of detail they capture, you know, and the effects they use on his face. It made me go back and think about our little discussion we had for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing when you asked me, do I prefer suits or do I prefer digital characters? Now, if you're asking me if I prefer the digital characters of Turtles, not necessarily. But, I mean, when I watch a movie like the BFG and see the amount of detail in such digital characters' faces, I have to say CGI. You just have to.
Yeah, and something like that, it would be really cheesy if you tried to do.
Yeah, now some of the other digital characters in the BFG look a little bit more cartoonish, but wow, just the Mark Rylance's motion capture face is just so good.
I'm a big fan of the motion capture, man. That stuff's the real.
Yeah, even Teenage Turtles, those were motion capture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the one good thing I will say about Ghostbusters. When I found out they were all actual actors, like playing, it's not even motion capture. They're just like added effects over real actors, like the ghosts.
Yeah, most likely. Most likely, so that's how they did.
That was pretty cool.
But that's something we'll be talking about in 2 weeks, actually, the 15th.
Damn. I don't think I'll be able to see it. I got to work all that week. I work 12s.
Well, we'll see. But we should probably move on. This is arguably too casual of an episode.
Yeah, this is supposed to be like a half an hour episode. Okay, so Swiss Army Man. Let's do it.
All right.
A hopeless man stranded in the wilderness befriends a dead body, and together they go on a surreal journey to get home. Directed by Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert. They go by Daniels.
A film by the Daniels.
And it's
not even the Daniels, just Daniels.
Yep, just Daniels. And it stars Paul Dano as Hank and Daniel Radcliffe as his corpse friend, Manny.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. And Mary Elizabeth Winstead also plays a role in this film. We love Mary Elizabeth, Paul Dano, and Daniel Radcliffe, who's made some really strange career choices. I'm starting to really become a fan of this guy.
I definitely am too. Yeah, let's just talk about this cast first. Yeah, Daniel Radcliffe, I've never seen a single Harry Potter movie. You know, that's what he's famous for. So I haven't seen the franchise that made him a name. I've seen a few of his movies. Like, I know I saw Horns. I thought Horns had some interesting aspects to it, but it all around wasn't a successful movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, I liked him, though, in it.
Yeah, I liked him in it a lot. I did like Woman in Black a lot. Yeah, but he's not. I haven't seen too much of his stuff.
Kill Your Darlings.
I haven't seen that. Victor Frankenstein.
That's a little.
Oh.
Yeah, he's made some interesting choices, though.
I think he's allowed to, though. You know,
after this movie, I would say that I'm a fan of Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah. Paul Dano, who I say is the best young actor working, and after this, I say he's not only the best young actor working, but he's one of the best actors, period, working.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll agree, yeah,
yes.
This guy.
After this movie, he's totally solidified. Well, really, after both this and, just everything he's done, he seems to get better and better with every movie he does.
Love and Mercy.
Yeah. Love and Mercy is great. Yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of Prisoners, but he was very good in that movie.
Yeah, that's kind of where I first started taking note of him being a great actor. I was like, man, this guy, he's really playing it up in this.
Yeah. Just downright hateable and 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, yeah. He's incredible.
Well, that's just his character.
He kind of has gained the reputation as a guy who you just want to see get beat up in movies. But he's really, with Love and Mercy, I think he really got away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can stand on his own.
Especially just coming from, the first thing I ever saw him in was There Will Be Blood. Well, no, Taking Lives, but Taking Lives wasn't a major role.
I think I saw him in Girl Next Door.
Girl Next Door. Oh, yeah. Well, the first thing I noticed him in was There Will Be Blood. You know, he's come a long way since even that.
Yeah. He's been in some great movies.
Mm-hmm. Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah.
He has such great range. He could be like your average guy. He could show emotions through his eyes and his face. You could just kind of see where he is. And not many actors could do that.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking a lot of times, especially today, these movies are like showcases.
Mm-hmm.
He has his showcase movies, you know, There Will Be Blood and
Love and Mercy.
Love and Mercy, 12 Years a Slave. But this movie, he's like, it kind of reminded me of a performance you'd get in like the 70s or 80s.
No, I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree with that. It's like, there's like Dustin Hoffman in this performance.
Dustin Hoffman, yeah. I was going to say De Niro a little bit.
And he's essentially playing at least two roles in this movie. And there's an argument to be made he's playing three roles in this movie. Yeah. But that's something we'll get into when we, you know, start talking spoilers. But yeah, it's just, wow. Paul Dano is incredible in this movie.
And as is Daniel Radcliffe.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe has such charm in this movie. He's just so funny. Very. And I mean, as far as the rest of the cast goes, I mean, this is basically a two-man show. We don't get too much from Mary Elizabeth Winstead and the rest of this cast, but they do good with what they have on screen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Josh, I'll let you start with your general thoughts on the film, and then we'll go deeper into spoilers once we go around the table.
I'm in love with this movie. I described this movie. It was actually mentioned on Facebook when I saw the Chris, who was our guest last week and a couple of times before that. He said he was seeing the movie. I compared experience of watching this movie to a religious experience, and I really will defend that. Just this movie just like filled me with like wonder, and it was almost like a euphoric feeling of watching it. I was in tears through most of this movie, tears of joy, you know, sadness. The performances in this movie and how they display these themes that they're going for. Just it really affected me in a pretty profound way.
I really did enjoy this film. I don't know if I'd go as far as like a religious experience.
I consider this to be a miracle movie, to tell you the truth.
It's so uplifting.
Yes. And it shouldn't be. With what this movie's about, it shouldn't be so uplifting. It shouldn't fill you with so much hope. And I would describe this movie as like a hopeful love letter to humanity by like the hopelessly lonely and depressed, because you know that's what I get out of this movie.
Smiley, what was your thoughts on the film?
So I agree with Josh. I didn't really have tears in my eyes. Maybe there was like one part of the movie that was really touching to me, but I can understand that. I can see that having that reaction. But I also all that other stuff, and it was hilarious.
Yes.
Just looking at it like a straight comedy standpoint, this was like a laugh out loud comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. If you look at it as strictly a comedy, it's almost like the best movie that Trey Parker and Matt Stone have ever made, but actually not have made.
Yeah. It's so much more than that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is
an achievement. So, yeah. All the acting was great. The soundtrack was great. All the action sequences, really well done. I loved the editing style of this movie, too.
The soundtrack was probably the most interesting part, or the score, or however you want to describe what this is. Because I've never seen anything quite like it, how they use music in this film.
Well, yeah, it's an all a cappella score, and that's something I kind of wanted to talk about when I got deeper into the finer points of this movie, is talk about the score.
And the film never dragged. It's a tight runtime, never boring. You're really captivated by Paul Dano's character. And
yes.
Like I said, his performance is the rock of this movie. And the way it was shot, it's definitely uniquely shot. I know these guys came from music videos, so you could kind of see it a little bit, but it transitioned really well.
Yeah.
The shot, gorgeous cinematography, locations. It's a really deep movie, and we'll get into that now with spoilers, I guess.
Anyone have any other, like, you know, quick thoughts on the movie before we get into talking about this movie?
I think I've said before on the podcast that I was really looking forward to this movie.
Yeah.
And I was looking forward to it ever since I heard the very first synopsis on IMDb, which was a man stranded on an island finds a farting corpse and befriends him. And I was like, I have to see this movie.
Yeah. And like I said,
it's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
I love movies with just interesting plots. And then this movie dives even further because everything in this movie has meaning to it.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like, I guess, I don't know if it's kind of a dated phrase, but like a water cooler plot, you know, it's the farting corpse movie. It's kind of, you know, kind of the same type of thing as like Human Centipede. But I think it's really interesting that these filmmakers, I guess we'll just call them Daniels, you know, they make this sort of water cooler concept, but they use it as a way, you know, to tell this story about, you know, like depression and hope and ugliness of humanity and, you know, showing how that's a good thing and that we should celebrate all of that stuff.
It was just a minor part of the actual storyline was the flatulence.
Yeah. I guess maybe the flatulence is where his powers come from, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. They don't get too far into
I mean,
that.
All dead bodies make noises. I mean, yeah, you shoot
for a
your
while,
pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's get into some spoilers. Well, let me give a quick shout-out to the Film Freak because I read his review on this film.
Haven't read it yet, but I'm gonna read it as soon as we're done with this review.
He made an interesting www.thefilmfreak.com, by the way. Plug our good friend over there. He's been on the show before. I'm sure you've heard him. But
he was on last week.
Yes, he was. And he made an interesting comparison to Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah, that I kind of see that.
That is very interesting. Now, yeah, like I said, I try not to read any reviews until I've done my own review, but I'm definitely going to read his review when we're done here to see if he gets in, you know, elaborates more on that. But no, that is a very interesting point. It's a great buddy movie. I try to think of great buddy movies of recent times, and you know, it's kind of hard to think of true friendship movies. I mean, there's a lot of comedies that, you know, deal with the whole, like, bromance thing. But yeah, Butch Cassidy is one of the all-time great buddy movies, and this movie certainly is too. But Stephen, what does that mean to you, the Butch Cassidy comparison?
Do you agree with that?
I agreed with it. It almost seemed like in this movie that Daniel Radcliffe was the rebirth of Paul Dano.
Yeah, and that's something that, like how I said, it's arguable that Paul Dano is doing three roles in this movie. I guess, you know, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is about two guys who, you know, they live or die together.
Yes.
And that's kind of like what this movie is because, right. I mean, Paul Dano, as we learn from the trailers of this movie, it seems like it's sort of a castaway deal. But I think the true interpretation of this movie is that he just goes out to the woods, to this island to kill himself. And he finds his last hope in this dead corpse. And the journey home, you know, I would say that they're probably not too far from home as it is, maybe hours away from home.
Well, we're in spoilers. Yeah, we're pretty close to home because they chase him at the end.
Yeah.
And it's not really a desert island.
So they're kind of just like, well, there is an island in the movie, but
well, everybody walks to it because they're at the original hanging point, aren't they?
No. They don't get to the original hanging point.
That was something that was a little, it was a little confusing to me. The location.
Well, they do get out to the beach, but they don't go out to the island. But it's not the journey where Paul Dano is lost, you know, physically. He's lost mentally. He's desperately trying to fix himself, and he's using his friendship with his corpse to fix himself. You know, he's looking for the courage to either face the real world or to actually go through with hanging himself.
There's so many themes in this movie, and the one that really stuck out to me, like the first thing I thought of was kind of like the rebirth of Paul Dano's character, where he's kind of teaching the corpse, but he's also teaching himself stuff that maybe his parents. There's a lot of, like, farting is the big joke, but really, like, what do you learn as a kid? Farts. Don't fart in public. Don't masturbate. Stuff like that. And it's kind of like he's teaching himself what he felt his parents failed to teach him, because they tell him these crazy stories about masturbating. So I kind of felt that it was, I don't even know. I mean, the corpse is real, I think, but I felt that it was more of he needed to go through this to kind of relearn everything. So he was teaching this corpse in ways maybe he felt his parents failed. He talks in a very childlike way, like butt, farts coming out of your butt. Like, they use the word butt. So also there's themes of friendship and a loneliness, depression, and hope. So yeah, this movie just was multi-layered. And I think that's a good thing. This movie's getting mixed reviews, but I thought the themes, it's definitely a movie you could watch a couple times and find new things. So I thought that thematically it was brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, it's an absolute celebration of life. It's a celebration of humanity. It's such a celebration of humanity that the score of this movie is just people making mouth sounds. It's an all a cappella score. This is a movie that, you know, it has some of the most profound and heartbreaking monologues I've heard in years. And, you know, the subjects of these monologues are like masturbation, feces, sexual fetishes, and body decomposition. But it's not talking about these things as if they're, you know, gross taboo or silly. I mean, it's talking about, you know, the beauty of this stuff. And that's something I don't think this movie is going to inspire people to fart in public or to talk readily about masturbating or anything. I don't think that's what it's trying to do. But it's, you will never see another movie that will, you know, celebrate these things quite how it does.
Yeah, it's true. I think you can interpret this movie 100 different ways.
Yeah.
I think we all probably have a different interpretation of it. I think I'd have to see it again to form a real opinion, but yeah, what Steve said definitely jumps to mind. But I think it's more about the underlying themes than it is an overall consensus of what
is real
and what isn't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a surrealist movie. So what's real and what isn't real doesn't matter at all.
Right.
It's the same as if you were watching 8.5. What's real and what isn't doesn't matter. It's what the movie's talking about.
Yeah, you just have to get an overall feel of.
I think the moment where this movie first, you know, starts with these themes is rewriting the Bible as everybody poops. You know, it's using toilet humor as poetry. Yeah. It's using it as philosophy. And I don't see that as necessarily a sacrilegious thing. Uh-huh. You know, it's well, using
I'm sure a lot of people would. I mean, he's actually like spreading.
Yeah, but I don't think
on the Bible.
I don't think you have
to. He literally shit on the Bible.
He literally shits on the Bible and then rewrites the Bible as everybody poops, which yeah, you can, but I see that as, you know, saying right away, okay, we're using toilet humor as poetry. We're using it as philosophy here.
That's obvious like right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching a review. I only got to I read the Film Freaks review and then I watched one review on YouTube. I wanted to make sure I was kind of prepared on this one. Mm-hmm. There's no way to really prepare for this movie.
No, it's very hard. Like, I'm obsessed with this movie, and I'll probably go back and see it again. But yeah, I'm kind of blindsided at the same time by this movie.
It's really hard to prepare for this movie, because it is kind of, it's all over the place, but not in a bad way.
Well, I don't think it's all over the place at all. I think there are very solid themes that go throughout the movie, but, you know, it works on different levels, and you can watch it on different levels. It's like how you said about how he's kind of like reteaching himself, you know, by parenting this corpse. So you can look at the whole movie that way as a coming of age story, or you can just look at it as, you know, as I said, like a love letter to humanity by hopeless people. Or you can look at it as a movie about a guy trying to find the courage to kill himself. You can look at it on all these levels, and each of them works.
But the one thing they reviewed, they weren't high on the movie, and they said it was kind of like, it was a movie that thought it was smarter than it was, and they compared it to The Breakfast Club, in which it seems like such great wisdom until you hit a certain age, and you're like, no, it's not. And I disagreed with that.
Anybody who has ever said that a movie is smarter than it thinks it is thinks they are smarter than they actually are.
They felt like somebody's going to watch it and like act like they're so incited, you know.
Of course you're going to get those people.
Yeah. So if you watch this movie and like I said, all you get out of it is that it was really funny, that it was a really funny comedy, I think you're interpreting it wrong. But you can do that. I think you're wrong, but you can.
You can. But I do get what they're saying. Oh yeah, there's going to be people that like this could kind of become like the Fight Club for this generation coming out, if anybody actually ends up seeing this movie. It does have kind of that Fight Club thing, and I can really see this movie becoming, hopefully it doesn't, but I could see it becoming annoying like Fight Club is. But
you know, I think this is a movie that people will write essays on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like kind of like Big Lebowski, how there's all kinds of interpretations to that.
Yeah, you know, I definitely think this will be a classic, but on a smaller level. I don't think it'll ever hit Big Lebowski or Fight Club.
Yeah, but it's definitely a movie I would compare to Fight Club, and I hope it doesn't become as annoying as Fight Club is. Not that the movie Fight Club is annoying, but the fans of Fight Club have kind of made that movie annoying.
I think it won't reach the level just because maybe it's not as relatable as those movies.
I think it's so relatable, too. I mean,
after you watch it, but you know, just from watching the trailer, it's not.
I don't see myself in any of the type of situation that Paul Dano is in, but you can take pretty much any aspect of any movie, you know, and somewhat relate it to your life, even if it's just like one thing.
Let's talk about the ending.
It's safe to say that the Hank is trying to help Manny, you know, well, Manny saves him sort of at the beginning by taking him ashore with his farts, allowing him to ride him like a jet ski. But then it becomes sort of Hank taking, you know, Manny up as his responsibility. He's going to teach him. He's going to, you know, he sees him as sort of a child, and he's going to teach him and everything, and that he's the one that saves him. By the end of the movie, he realized that it's Manny who's actually saving him.
Right.
There's it's that.
Literally saving him and figuratively.
Yeah. There's that line, actually, when Manny is actually in the process of saving Hank from the bear at the end, where they have this little talk about suicide at the end of the movie. As we find out late at the very end of the movie, it that Manny actually killed himself. Do you guys remember when Paul Dano is being dragged away by that bear and they have that little talk about suicide?
Yeah.
Where, no, basically Hank is accepting his fate and he says, this was going to happen eventually. God knows I tried. I just didn't have the courage. There was always something that kept me from doing it. I think that's kind of saying that, you know, how they reveal that Manny actually did kill himself, that Hank was using him as courage to actually finally die. But then Manny is also the one who brings him back, you know, to the real world and brings him to Mary Elizabeth Winstead's house. Let's talk about that scene where he shows up to Mary Elizabeth Winstead's house.
That was confusing to me at first.
Yeah, because he kind of, they go with the thing where they think that the cell phone actually belongs to Manny.
Yeah.
And there's that awkward moment where Mary Elizabeth Winstead realizes that she's all over Paul Dano's phone. And she goes up to him and she's like, why am I on your phone? And he says, I think his line is, you just looked so happy and I wasn't.
Yeah.
I don't think it was an accident that they ended up in her backyard.
Oh, no, it wasn't. And how it sort of at the beginning of the movie, when he's trying to commit suicide, he says, I expected to see my life flash before my eyes, but it didn't happen. But then at the end of the movie, when everybody thinks that it's Paul Dano that's in the body bag and Paul Dano's father comes and he says he can't look at it, Paul Dano kind of does get to see his dad's reaction to him dying.
That was also a little confusing because I thought,
yeah,
was he the one that was dead the whole time? And then,
yeah, I thought they were pulling the old switcheroo on me.
Yeah, and then they switched it back and I was like, okay, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. So then basically he runs back into the woods, right?
Paul Dano overhears the coroner saying that it appeared that Manny had been a bridge jumper, and so that meant that he was suicidal, so most likely they were going to take him to a morgue and nobody would ever come claim his body and he'd just be buried in, you know, an unmarked grave. And yeah. That made Paul Dano, like, it made him, like, that's his best friend in the world. That's the person who saved him, or, you know, helped him save himself. So he wasn't going to allow Manny to just be put in an unmarked grave. So he wanted to take him back where he found him, out to the ocean, where he could fart himself to an island or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they follow, which leads me to believe he wasn't far away at all.
No, he wasn't far away at all.
They lead him back to the beach, and Manny finally reveals himself to the world and starts farting and pretty much jets away in the ocean, right. And it ends on, what, Mary Elizabeth Winstead's face?
Well, she says, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's such a great ending.
It is. It is a great ending.
But it's also really ambiguous because you still don't know what's real, I guess.
Yeah, like I said, it's a surrealist movie, so I try not to dissect what's real and what's not, because that's the intention of the movie, is just to be surreal.
It could be just Paul Dano completing his healing.
Yeah.
To where now he sees people could believe him, and mm-hmm. he's not crazy. He's just a lonely guy. The reactions could still be, I don't want to say hallucinating. I don't think he's hallucinating in this movie. I don't think he's crazy.
I do think he's delusional.
Okay.
I do believe he's a mentally ill person, but it's a story about a very lonely and depressed man who does say that he had tried to kill himself many times before we see a suicide attempt at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
But so he's definitely is mentally ill in some way.
What I could say is I kind of thought a little bit, thinking about it, of Big Fish.
Yeah.
Where with the ending of that, the story becomes the reality. Mm-hmm. And I thought it could just be his thoughts playing out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe not delusions. Maybe he knew all along, but it was just kind of like fantasy land.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. that's kind of what I took from it. Your way is fine, too. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could look at it. But that's just kind of what I thought about the ending, is it wasn't real, but it wasn't total, like, I don't think he's, like, schizophrenic.
Yeah, I just don't think it matters whether it's real or not.
Yeah, even if you look at it like it was completely real, and, you know, he revealed himself at the end like that, it doesn't take anything away from the movie.
It's kind of like Blade Runner. that's a kind of a funny comparison, but the argument is always, is Harrison Ford a replicant or not? It doesn't make one bit of difference one way or the other. The movie does not change at all. This movie, it's just because it's a surrealist movie. It's trying to be surreal, so it does not matter what's real and what's fake.
Yeah, it's more about the journey.
Yeah.
Using penises as compasses.
That's great. Yeah, we haven't even talked about some of that.
We got a lot to talk about still.
We haven't even talked about, like, Paul Dano, like, recreating, you know, his relationship he's created in his mind with Mary Elizabeth Winstead. But yeah,
that was...
Boss.
That was great. That whole sequence was probably one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Yes. And just, wow, just Paul Dano's performance, when his performance is playing the Mary Elizabeth Winstead character is completely different from the character he's playing throughout the rest of the movie. He's just so good in this movie.
Yeah. I literally think that it's one of the best performances I've seen in a couple of years.
Like how I said, I mean, I was in tears through a lot of this movie. A lot of it was just because, I mean, I was just so blown away by these performances and blown away by the imagery and blown away by the themes of this movie. So, and that's a lot. It's that type of stuff that really gets to me. It doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen most of the time, but it does happen sometimes.
Well, for me, it was Saving Captain Hanks.
Saving Captain Hanks.
If you don't at least get choked up at the end of that when he starts crying and like after he gets saved, then you're a monster.
That's a great comparison because, like I've always said, that I think that Tom Hanks's performance in Captain Phillips is next level. It's a next level performance, and I think the same with Paul Dano because it's hyper realism. Mm-hmm. These are hyper realism performances. Now Paul Dano's is in like a surrealist kind of quirky movie, and Tom Hanks's is in, you know, a hyper realistic action adventure movie. But yeah, it's the same type of thing. It's performances that, you know, really blow me away.
And yeah, the humanity of his character in this.
Yeah, he is so human for a character that is so hopeless and so depressed and so lonely and arguably mentally ill and cynical. He's the most human character I've seen all year, maybe for the past several years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good argument to be made for that.
And it's all done through toilet humor.
Yeah.
And I think for the most part.
Yeah, it's toilet humor is poetry. Toilet humor is philosophy.
I think the name of this movie is really interesting, too.
Mm-hmm. He's an all-purpose tool.
Now, it's a play on Swiss Army knife, right?
Yep.
Okay, because that's what you take in the woods.
Yeah, Swiss
it's
Army.
It's a survival tool, yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe is the monolith from 2001 A Space Odyssey. He's all-purpose, you know.
Chops wood.
He's also Wilson from Castaway.
He's equal parts just Wilson the monolith from 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Like I said, I see this whole movie as just like an imagination of a guy who's working through depression.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to fix himself. Yeah. He's trying desperately to fix himself. And as we find out at the end, I don't think he can be fixed. I don't, honestly.
I don't know.
He is who he is.
I think it's a happy ending.
No, I definitely agree that it's a happy ending. But yeah, just because he can't be what he wants is to be Mary Elizabeth Winstead's husband. That's how he thinks he can be fixed. You know, by having the house in the suburbs with the dog and the kid with Mary Elizabeth Winstead. But that's not who he is. And yes, at the end, he does discover who he actually is. And who he actually is a guy who doesn't mind farting and a guy who is friends with a corpse. That's who he is. He's weird and he accepts these weird. So it is, yeah, it is a happy ending.
Yeah.
Well, anyone else have any thoughts? Any more thoughts on this?
Oh boy, I think
anything we didn't touch on?
The monologues, but I mean, I don't remember the monologues front to back. Just like the monologues about how Paul Dano thought about his mother while masturbating.
Oh yeah.
It's so funny, but you know, it's eloquent.
He's
philosophical.
Radcliffe is just saying what he's basically just repeating whatever he says or what comes to his mind first. He's like a little kid, like you said.
And they're like
whatever he says is really, it's truthful. I don't think he told one lie in this movie.
And they're sort of like joint soliloquy about body decomposition, how Paul Dano is going to get torn to shreds by this bear and Daniel Radcliffe is going to go back to being dead and then they're going to turn to shit and their shit's going to mix with other people's shit. And that sounds like South Park toilet humor, and it certainly is. But I mean, there's just an eloquence to it and like a hopefulness to it that kind of sounds nice, that that's the afterlife. Their shit will float into a river and they'll be together forever.
Also, yeah, I could see now that this alive corpse could have some meaning to Paul Dano because, I mean, he's dead, but he's still, you know.
Paul Dano is a dead man walking. He's a suicidal man who just hasn't gone through with it yet.
And even when he does die, who knows? Maybe he could come back like Daniel Radcliffe.
Maybe. Yeah, that's true, maybe.
So
now, can we classify this as a zombie movie?
I don't think so. What do you think?
Well, if we can, it's the best zombie movie since Land of the Dead.
Nice. Okay, so one last thing I want to talk about because okay. I think it's definitely noteworthy, is they almost form a romantic relationship together.
They kind of make out when they're in the water, but I was trying to, I mean, it's kind of equal parts, you know, making out and also equal parts. He's filling his stomach up with air so he can fart and blow them out of the water.
Yeah, I saw more of it when he was dressed up like the girl.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They almost shared a kiss, like organically, and yeah, they kind of stopped.
I was really happy they stopped.
Paul Dano is an entirely different character when he's playing Mary Elizabeth Winstead in this movie. Like, it's an entirely different performance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't see that at all as, like, homoerotic stuff.
No.
He's fully homoerotic necrophilia. Yeah. I didn't see any of that in that scene. You could definitely get that in that water scene.
Yeah, I just wanted to get that out. We didn't see any of that. Although it was an uncomfortable scene.
Oh, I mean, the entire movie is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But anything else?
No. Now,
it's really hard to talk about this movie.
Yeah, it's hard right to talk now, about this movie the first time yeah. around. And this is a movie that I imagine that before I make my top 10 of the year, I will have seen this movie like 4 or 5 times. I really do think that. Yeah. And I'm not gonna say right now that this has a good chance of being my number one, but it's a movie that I'm gonna be watching a lot when it comes to
go ahead and add another check mark to A24's win column.
I mean, yeah. Holy shit. I was actually, well, like, as I just said, I haven't thought about top 10 of the year. I was actually thinking about asking you guys if you wanted to do like a top 5 for the first half of the year, since we are officially 6 months past the 6 month mark in this year. And I was thinking about it. My top 4 of the year is all A24. Actually, no, yeah. The top 3 is A24. These are in no particular order. This was just like Swiss Army Man, Green Room, and The Witch. And then I had,
yeah, I would throw a Lobster probably in there.
And then I had Eye in the Sky and Everybody Wants Some to round that out.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen enough films to make a top 5 right now.
I mean, we've been reviewing movies for this whole time, so what have you really missed from the first half of the year?
BFG.
That's not going to be in
Legend
top
of Tarzan.
5.
Is Independence Day Resurgence in your top 5 of the first half of the year? In no particular
five.
Order?
Bottom 5.
Bottom 5. I won't even ask.
So we'll do ratings now. I'm going to start. A- could be an A. Could be an A+ eventually.
It's an A. It could be an A+ eventually. It could be one of, it could go on to be one of my favorite movies of all time. It could be. It very well could be. It's an A.
Wow. Yeah. I also gave it just an A. I think on multiple viewings, I don't think I'm going to ever, it's never going to go down. I don't think for me, but on multiple viewings, it might go up. I could get more deeper meaning and understanding.
It's in the 60s on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's not exactly top shelf for critics. Yeah. That's fine. I don't care. As I said with Neon Demon, it's not a movie for everybody. It's not even a movie for most people, but I'm just glad it's a movie for me.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think this is ever going to get super high praise from any critics. Mm-mm. And certainly not from, like, my grandmother. She would not watch this movie.
Yeah,
I after like the first 5 minutes, she would turn it off. If you get past all the toilet humor and shock stuff, there's just so many layers to this movie.
So what are we going to do next week?
We might not even be back next week. I'm looking at the release slate for next week, and it's Secret Life of Pets, and Mike and Dave need a wedding date, so most likely we will not have an episode. But we will certainly be back, at least me and Steve, and hopefully Huber will be back the weekend of July the 15th to review Ghostbusters.
Cool. Go ahead and plug. We forgot to shout out Ben Sound last week, by the way.
Ooh, shit. You got to do it twice this week now.
That's Ben Sound at bensound.com. We would once again like to thank Ben Sound at bensound.com since we forgot last week. And let's plug some shit. Okay. Facebook.com/filmforecast, Twitter.com/filmforecast, email us at filmforecast@gmail.com. Our official website is filmforecast.podomatic.com. And there is a donate button on there that we haven't been plugging for whatever reason. I'd have to pay all these movies out of pocket. And that's not right.
Please, if you're a Saudi prince listening, donate.
Oh, boy. Well, after that, subscribe on iTunes. If you liked or hate what you heard, you can rate and review us.
It's time to all go home now. Have a nice weekend at the movies.
Happy 4th of July, everybody. Don't forget what this day is all about. If you're American, if you're, you know,
barbecues.
If you're outside the United States. You know, go about your business.
Barbecue.
Go about whatever you were doing.
Someone's phone's ringing.
Yeah, that's my phone.
Bye.